seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, be the Taylor Swift, Marilyn Manson, you're the kind of friend worth having. When I'm feeling down, you're the one I call, and it's problem solved. Yeah, it's problem solved. Ooh.
I like your shirt.
Oh, thanks.
I've decided that's my new wardrobe.
T-shirts. What was it before?
I tried to buy fancy clothes, like blouses.
No.
I know.
Death to blouses.
I'm learning the way. So I'd like to buy one t-shirt a month. I mean, a week.
Where do you like to buy them from?
That's what I need to know. As I was in the bathroom, I was looking at Milk and Honey Teas. I like their little, they have a striped one.
Do they?
Yeah.
That Mandy. I just got her one that says The Great Indoors, and it's a maroon hoodie.
Yes. Have you seen the one they have that needs sunlight and water?
No.
That's so cute.
That is cute.
So, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Weird schedule, you know? Like, I just took a big nap at 6 p.m. because I knew we were going to record late. I go to bed early, like I'm 105. I also get up at like 4:30. So, I mean, only on the days that I work. I promise I'm not getting up on the days I don't work.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing it this late.
Are you so tired at the end of a day with four little kids?
Yeah, I'm really tired.
Man, how are things with the Better Life bags? Are you still making masks?
We're making masks.
Are you allowed to go back yet?
Yeah, Michigan opened up manufacturing. So we took that as our cue because that's what we do. It's manufacture bags. So we are back in production slowly. It feels like a squeaky tire, like a squeaky wheel. Squeaky tires. Is that a thing?
Don't think so.
But it is a wheel.
Well, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Okay, so I have a couple things to talk about. Number one, this is weird because I'm like interviewing you for your book, and I have felt concerned about that because I haven't interviewed you in like 3 years.
I think it's been longer than that.
Also, I would like to say, just to clear the air and let everyone know, Rebecca is not my sister. Because nobody seems to know that, including my family members who will remain unnamed. It's fine.
I'm your sister in Christ.
Sure.
So let's not confuse everyone.
Way to be so spiritual. She is not my sister. She is more spiritual than me. But yeah, she's not my sister. And I don't know. It's funny to me that you guys are indistinguishable, apparently.
I am not on a Struggling Sisters episode ever. I've never been on one.
Well, no, because you're on this one, but people can't tell. And so the reason I'm bringing this up, and it's so funny, and that's not like anybody cares, but Katie and Rebecca get asked questions that the other one talked about. So anyway, and since Rebecca doesn't listen to the Struggling Sisters, she didn't know.
I'm just behind. I listen to you make bread and ice cream in a bag.
Okay.
So I know what's going on.
That was on the one that you got a question about. You didn't know the answer.
I listened to the whole thing.
Oh, so disappointing. I don't watch your stories. You don't have to listen to my podcast. We're even.
I do. I do love your podcast.
Okay, so my confession is that I bought a rug from Ruggable.
Okay.
And the amount of people who said, have you cleared this with Rebecca? Is it fine with Rebecca that you got this? It was just really funny. So far, I really like it. I actually sent the top back and got a different top just because of color reasons. There was nothing wrong with it, but I changed my mind.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting on the second one to come in.
Okay.
It takes a long time to get them.
Yeah, I do remember that. You're right. I have a feeling that's going to be the standard for life now. You Everything's just going to take a long time.
It really seems like it. I was wondering, okay, so another thing, I remember a long time ago, you said you don't like collages of items on a wall. You like just like one thing. I was going to do a collage of different types of mirrors. And then I decided on just one mirror that I really love from West Elm. It's like asymmetrical. It's really pretty. I like it. Anyhow, but I had already bought all kinds of different mirrors from other stores, like lots of mirrors. Like I just really had a great evening where I bought a bunch of mirrors. Well, then I changed my mind, but then they all kept coming in the mail and my husband's like, what in the world is happening? I'm like, oh, those are from a month ago when I was going to make a wall of mirrors and now I'm not. And so anyway, they're still, I called Pottery Barn and I was like, why have you had this return for ages, but you're not giving me my money back? He's like, well, they have to sit for a while. Like they quarantine the packages before they even return them. So even returns are taking longer because they have to sit and get the virus off of them.
Interesting. Oh, this world. Let's go back to Ruggable. So my issue with Ruggable is after I washed it, because this is their whole claim is that it's a washable rug. So after I washed it, the corners curled up no matter if I laid bricks on them. Like, you know, it just was, it was really unsightly.
Now, did yours, mine had like heavy things on the end, on the corners. You had that?
No, they changed it.
Oh.
Probably because of me and my Instagram.
Single-handedly.
Yes.
Okay.
So they, I will be curious to know if that happens to you after you wash it, because that looks like a great feature to have the weights on the corners.
You know, and I thought because it's kind of like a pocket. It even says in the thing, don't put the bottom of the rug inside this little pocket. It's just like a weight. Like, but I thought even if it, you could even put like quarters in it or something. Like if you had to need, I don't know. I just feel like you could weight that down if you needed to even more.
Then if you like lose all your money, you'll have quarters stored in the corners of your rugs.
It's kind of like a savings plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I am using my Ruggable again. I had put a rug on top of my Ruggable because I was lazy and didn't roll up my Ruggable for quite a few months. And it flattened it out, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So are you still, so you didn't get to return your Ruggable. They're very picky about the returns.
They really are. It's not an easy return process. So I knew I was stuck with it. I also found tape, carpet tape, rug tape, that's good for hardwood floors. So there's way around this. I just don't think it's like as washable as they market it to be.
Got it. Well, I'll let you know in like a year when I first wash it. I can't imagine I'm doing it a lot.
Yeah. It's not fun to like lay it back out.
Do you dry it?
I did not dry it because I didn't want it to shrink.
I haven't looked at what I'm supposed to do. I wanted to take a minute and tell you about one of today's sponsors, Noom. So Noom is the habit change program that explains how your mind works so you can understand why you make the decisions you make and feel empowered so you can change for good. I know I like to feel comfortable in my clothes, especially during the sticky summer months. So I'm down for a program that can help make that my reality. With Noom, my coach, Emily, measures me, messages me with encouragement and reminds me of my goals like a virtual cheerleader. So Noom also has short and sweet lessons that are funny and informative. They teach you about your specific eating habits and give you tools to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. But Noom isn't going to take over your life. They suggest just 10 minutes a day. If you need more than a one-on-one specialist, you also get access to a community of Noomers who are going through the same things you are, and they are there to support you. There is a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, that's Noom.com/MSW. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/MSW to start your trial today. That's Noom, Noom.com/MSW. Okay, right. So do you... Go ahead.
I just said interview me.
Interview you. Okay. I can, it makes no sense how concerned I have been about this interview. It makes no sense. I just, I'm like, I don't know. It just feels, you know how when you just do a different thing in the same, it just doesn't make sense. I don't feel very articulate.
Would it be helpful if I talked in an accent, like that I was a whole new person? I've been doing this during quarantine with my children.
What's your favorite accent?
Her name is Honeybee. I become a whole new person when I'm real angry. And the children's mother goes to Hawaii and Honeybee comes and takes over. And she does a much better job.
Oh my gosh, you have got to unpack this. So she's like a Southern Belle?
I picture her as more, I can't get out of the accent.
Do it.
I picture her as more of like a fat grandma.
Okay. Is she mad or is she happy to be there?
She's very happy to be there. Yeah.
But you're mad.
Yes, very much.
Is Honeybee like have more rules or less rules?
She doesn't have to have rules because the kids do whatever she says.
Are you kidding me?
It's magic.
Do you announce that she's there? Do you wear a hat? Like, what changes?
I just flip into it suddenly.
Why do you think they listen to her more than you?
First, I think they're just startled. When I first started doing it, it was like hilarious, you know, and like a game, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And now, I mean, Neil even kind of likes Honeybee.
Wow. She's revolutionizing the Smith house. She's like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. That's a bit like how I picture her, but not like a transvestite.
Yeah.
Part of it. Yeah.
Less masks on faces and bodysuits. Cool. Well, congratulations on that discovery.
So I can be her right now if you need me to.
Sure. Well, sure. Whatever floats your boat, Honeybee. Okay. So your book comes out on Tuesday.
It does.
Which you'll already be past by the time this. Do you appreciate how I timed this to where it does not coincide with the timeline that would be helpful to you?
Whatever. Like, I'm going to be probably more candid on this interview than any of the other ones I've done. The books are already shipping from Barnes & Noble, and then they're not shipping from Amazon for another, like, 3 weeks. The book has been done for a year. Like, the book has been out for a year, you know?
But just nobody could have it. Yeah, it's just in your mind.
Yeah, and then our launch team has already read it, so everyone else is late to the party.
There you go. So how has this whole book launch thing been different than you thought had there not been a virus? Has that been discouraging to you or has it been a relief? Because y'all have to do a lot.
It's been a relief. I feel like if the book flops, I can blame it on the virus.
There you go.
So.
Is there pressure for it not to flop?
I haven't felt a lot of pressure. They do have a number of books they want me to sell in the first week.
Whoa. Okay.
Nowhere near close to that the last time I heard the numbers. So.
But this is the first week hasn't happened yet.
Pre-orders count for the first week of sales.
I see.
That makes sense. But most people buy the book like during the first week. Not many people pre-order. So they haven't told me they're concerned. So I'm just going to move forward as if things are great, you know?
Okay. Are you attaching any like identity stuff to this? Because I think I really would.
I am just so ready for it to be launched. And I feel like I have really low expectations. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's good.
They're going to hate me. They're going to never let me back on this podcast is what's going to happen.
So have you done a lot of podcast interviews? How's that been?
I've done a lot. They've been fun. They've been good. Most of them are going like to be live next week when the book comes out. So
maybe I'll switch it. I do have the power to do that.
You can be late. That's fine. Better late. What did you say? Were you the one that said if you do a book tour after the virus?
Yes,
is over,
I named it.
A better late than never life book tour.
Yes.
I really love it.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it really is. I've told so many people that. And claimed it as my own idea.
I was going to say, like, you didn't even know for sure if I did it. So it's the last great idea I give you.
I said my friend. So it could be anybody.
True. It's true. Okay, so let's talk about this. Number one, I loved that this book was really vulnerable. I appreciate that you shared a lot of things that most people would not have shared. And I love that about you, and I have loved that about you. You have always said more than I thought was appropriate. And you sure did in this book as well. No, but I love it. Love, love, love it. I also love your heart for people and your honesty with the struggle to put people first sometimes. And so as I was going through here, I kept reading a chapter and going, oh, yeah, that was my favorite one. And then I'd read the next one and go, oh, yeah, that was my favorite one. And so I loved every you did a great job of tying up each chapter well. I'm really proud of you, even though, you know, never met you, not even sure if you're real, but I'm really proud of you.
You're like my closest friend on the internet.
I know. It's so sweet.
Am I your closest friend on the internet?
Yes. The feeling is mutual. I'm sorry. I don't know why when people say, I love you, I'm always like, I don't know what, I don't know what to say back. I just get weird at saying things back.
I didn't think I loved you.
I just felt the same sort of way where I felt pressure. Even though it's true, I feel the pressure to say it back. And then I feel like it doesn't seem genuine because that's, of course, what I'm supposed to say.
Right. So then you're not going to say it.
The whole thing gets weird if I would have just said it.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. It's hot in here. Okay. So technology, it's improved just about everything. Our phones, our cars, how we shop, but mattresses, they haven't been improved in a really long time. But finally, the mattress has evolved thanks to Purple. So the secret to Purple is the Purple Grid. I've felt it. They sent me like a teeny tiny little, I wanted like a big old human-sized mattress, but they sent me a sample of the Grid with a cute little purple pillow on it. And it really, it's amazing. The Grid is soft where you want it to be soft, but firm where you need it to be firm. So the cool thing is, because there's over 2,800 open air channels, you never sleep too hot or too cold. That would really help me and my husband. I'm always cold. He's always hot. And the cool thing is, the Grid won't sink or lose shape, which is always a problem in the mattresses that we've bought. So you can count on resting easy night after night, year after year. Purple is so confident in what they do that every Purple mattress comes with free shipping and returns and a risk-free 100-night trial. So experience the next evolution of sleep. Go to purple.com/MSW and use promo code MSW. For a limited time, you're going to get $150 off of any Purple mattress order of $1,500 or more. That's purple.com/MSW, promo code MSW for $150 off any mattress order of $1,500 or more. Terms apply. Are you looking for stories to inspire your little girl to pursue her dreams? Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls podcast is an expansion of its best-selling book, which tells hundreds of bedtime stories about the lives of extraordinary women from the past and the present. These stories are designed to close the confidence gap in young girls. These stories explore the talent and results of incredible women across every possible field, from astronauts to chefs. To inspire the rebel girl in your life, go and find Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls on your favorite podcast player. All right, so a couple things that I wanted to pull out from the book that maybe we can talk about more. So you talked about letting the dream simmer and how Better Life Bags didn't start as this gigantic thing. And we all have dreams that I think sometimes we want to push, and that can be a disaster. And so to a mom who's like, oh, I've got this thing, but it's either not going as fast as I want, or now's not the time, or am I even supposed to do it? What would you say?
Yeah, I think a lot of times the story at the beginning of that chapter is the time that we bought did you know they're not called betta fish? Would you have called them betta fish?
Yeah.
They're betta fish.
Oh, says who?
Says my audiobook director. As I was reading the audiobook, he made me stop and re-record. I said betta, and he's like, stopped my recording. He's like, actually, the correct pronunciation is betta fish.
So did you say, okay, sir, but...
I'm going to say betta.
Yeah, I would have put my foot down. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. That's what a country's song says. You're going down a slippery slope.
I sure am. No, I said betta fish, but the story at the beginning of that chapter is when we bought two betta fish on the same shopping trip. We also bought a toilet, and it was like, as I was driving home, balancing these fish on my lap, I realized like, oh, we bought these fish to fulfill a dream in my kids. And like, we also bought their graveyard in the same trip. It was just so hilarious to me. But I think we do that with our actual dreams. We say things like, I'm too old, I'm too young, I have too many kids, I'm too busy. I don't know all the excuses, but I don't think we have to buy the toilet and the graveyard for the dream on the same trip. I think we can let it simmer in the back of our mind. So let's say you want to start give me a dream of yours, Emily.
I mean, being a nurse practitioner was something I never thought I could do.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe going back to school and getting like a second degree, like maybe you can't do that full time, but can you take like one class? Or just whenever someone talks about the topic of your dream on a podcast, like tune into that, or read a book or take an online class about art if you want to be an artist. You know, like I think you can let it simmer in a way that's not killing it, but also not hustling after it really fast and hard. Like those aren't the two options. You know, you don't have to run hard after it or do nothing. Like those, there's a third option, which is kind of like just move slowly and simmer. And I'm also trying to stop saying the word like when I talk. It's not going well.
It's fine. We'll have Rachel take some of those out.
So
everybody, if you're listening and you hear some likes, just know it used to be way worse. We're drowning in likes over here. Okay. I like that because that isn't, and I wasn't using like inappropriate there. I appreciate your perspective because that isn't what we hear a lot and isn't what feels right to maybe the American dream mindset or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. Like when we make New Year's resolutions, it like starts this stopwatch. You know, like we have to finish that New Year's resolution by December 31st of that year. And I just think there's a different way to go about chasing after our dreams. That's more manageable.
And I like what you said also about at the end about how big is better. What's next for Better Life Bags? How big do you want to grow it? And we've talked about this a lot just in our own conversations about when does it count? When does my number of downloads count? And when does your number of bag sales count? And until that happens, what are we doing? Does it even matter? And the fact is it does, but we're measuring it by the wrong, not wrong. Which is, yeah. What are you? I can't make words.
It is by the wrong because in the back of our mind, when you say like how many downloads until it counts, I guarantee you have a number in your mind and it's probably based on some other podcaster or, you know, so it is off the wrong number because we're not looking at our own path that's been created for us and planned for us. We're looking like over into the lane of someone whose story and path doesn't belong to us. So.
And I loved that whole chapter as well about staying in your lane. And you talk about how hard it is to stay in your lane, especially when there's construction and the lines are gone. And all of a sudden, you have to concentrate so much to stay in your lane. And then when a semi-truck comes and you have to feel like you're about to be either sucked into their lane, like sometimes you just want to not go in someone else's lane. And sometimes you really do want to be in the other lane. It just kind of depends on the moment which way we're not happy in our own lane.
For sure.
Sometimes the other lane looks better and sometimes it doesn't look safe, especially because I told you I got hit by a semi-truck once. So I have like semi-truck trauma. So when you said that, I'm like, oh, yes, semi-trucks are scary.
They are. Because you do feel like you're getting sucked into there.
You do. Anyhow. So advice for staying in your own lane. Has it gotten easier for you the more you practice it?
I do think it gets easier, but it's never going to go away. I don't think this can go for all sorts of things. Being on Instagram is one of the hardest places to be and to try to stay in your own lane. because it's not just staying in your own lane with like your business or your podcast. It's like with your home and how much you love your home. You see, like I've fallen into this before where I see someone like renovating their kitchen or painting a wall. And I'm like, oh, like there's poop on my wall. Like I say that all the time, but there really is poop on my wall all the time. It's just always my example. And I hope
you should have Honeybee do something about it.
Yes, I should. Honeybee doesn't do any chores.
Got it. That's why she's in such a good mood.
She just sits on a rocker and drinks sweet tea.
She sounds fun.
What were we talking about?
Oh, staying in your lane.
Yeah. So I think Instagram can be a big danger for that. I love Instagram though. So I will probably never do like a 40-day fast of Instagram, you know, unless God asks me to, but please don't ask me that. But I do notice when my eyes are like glazing over, I notice when I'm getting into that. And I think I have to like snap back into reality. And with the business specifically, I really love the pace that we're going. Like I've come to just enjoy going slow and not feeling the pressure. It's like I've let myself off the hook. Like I don't have to be on Inc. magazine's cover. You know, like I don't have to be a Fortune 500. I've let myself off the hook from all that stuff in the past few years. And so now I just really get to enjoy, you know, we're even limiting like this number of bags we're going to make each week. And wow. I just like people that would not be in like Inc. magazine's articles of like suggested things to do for a business, but we don't want the hamster wheel or the hustle lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to limit the number of bags just so we can maintain what we have and do a good job, but not have to go crazy. You know, I mean, that's a decision we're making for now. We may not always do that, but that's how we're going to reopen and kind of ease back into things.
Yeah. So. I think that sometimes the reason we push ourselves so far is there's a fear behind it. We don't even always know what exactly the fear is. Did any fear come up when you kind of took yourself off the hook? Did your fears become realized in any way?
I mean, when I think about limiting 30 bags a week, that's our number. I don't know if I mentioned that before. We're limiting like to 30 custom bags a week. That does, in the back of my mind, bring up fear. Like, what if it's not enough? Or what if nobody wants to order because they don't want to wait because we're filled up for the, you know, like there's, so it does. I definitely always still have those fears. In the book, I describe a really specific story of when sales were really low about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And just like wondering if it's over, like, is this the end? Like, is it not going to continue on? And that wasn't the case. It might be the case someday. Like God may tell me someday that it's time to be done. And I hope I'd be okay with that. You know, that would be hard, I think, right now, if that's what he told me. But yeah, I mean, the fear is always there.
I think the good thing is it sounds like you've become comfortable with having the fear alongside the good boundaries with it.
Yeah. I think the benefits of this outweigh the fear. Like I experience the fear less than I experience the benefits of being able to like swing on the hammock in my backyard and not worry about how many emails are waiting for me or different things like that, you know? So I'm not answering this good. This is really hard.
I know, it's late. It's midnight. Just kidding. It's really not even that late, you guys. See, it's hard to have an interview. It's so much easier just to talk about poop on the wall and laugh.
Can we just go back to that?
We are never doing this again, I promise. It's so funny that the first interview we did so many years ago must have gone well enough that I decided to have you on for Evers.
This is way terrible, though.
Rachel will make it sound good. I have a full... By the way, I'm so busy. She had to text me and she's like, hey, you didn't pay me. Gosh, that is so awkward. And I'm sorry that you even had to send that text, but I'm busy. So do you ever forget to pay your people?
No, because I get paid alongside them.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's good. I should try something like that. Another thing I want to talk about that I loved is you were talking about feeling like a fraud. Like, you've done this, you've made this company, and you still feel like a fraud. I don't think I am a nurse, and I'm even doing more schooling for nurses. I'm like in charge of the nurses, and I still feel like a fraud. So feeling like a fraud is kind of means you're normal.
Right. I think I'm figuring that out. Every now and then I look at my kids, I'm like, I am their mother. Like, these are my kids.
What is going on here?
Not the babysitter.
Yeah.
So I do. Like, it's weird. We're constantly wearing pants that we feel like don't fit us in life.
Literally and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. Yep. But we just keep doing it anyway.
Because honestly, we really aren't frauds. But I think... So I'm taking a class to become a eating disorder specialist nurse. You can certify yourself in different things. And it's been helpful because I already know some of the things they are saying, which is good because sometimes I think I don't know anything. So sometimes it's good to step back and have those types of assessments to just go, hold it. Like, I'm not on day one, even though I kind of feel like it. Because we only know all the things that we don't know still.
We only know the things that we don't know.
All that pops up to me is all the places that I have gaps in my knowledge.
Right. Yeah.
So like a good way for maybe a mom to not feel like a fraud would be to help a new mom or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with writing this book, I was like, what wisdom do I have to pass on? But I really feel it. So I've been doing these interviews. People like you on the other side, like, will say something that they learned or that they're applying already. And I was like, oh, I maybe do know something. like these are lessons. We all have lessons that we've learned that we can pass on to somebody. So
tell me about, I don't remember how you put it, but like the stickers or the things that God left along the way. What did you refer to those as?
Yeah, special stickers.
Tell me about a couple of them. I know one was a sticker on the floor at a grocery store.
That was the original. Yes. It was outside of a grocery store in college. I was just walking home from class and saw this orange sticker that said special on it. Now, like, logically, it was from a grocery store deli sandwich, you know, but I immediately saw it and just knew it was a gift from God, as cheesy as that sounds. And so it lived on the back of my college ID for the rest of my college career.
I love it.
And that really just got me looking for those little things, like the little coincidences, you know, that happen. Some silly ones have been that I wrote about briefly in the book are our IKEA furniture was falling apart. And I was like, I just want some solid wood dressers that the bottoms aren't. I put three pairs of pants in, the bottom falls out. And the next week there was these vintage dovetailed wood dressers in our alley. And I was like, that just, you know, things like that. I feel like we all have at least one story that we can pull of something like that, where we just see God cares about those silly things too. You know, he's not just up there orchestrating miracles and like healing, you know, cancer healings. Like, he's providing solid wood dressers because he knows it would mean the world to me. And so, I mean, there's been different things. When I first met Neil, we met on the internet, and I drove to pick him up at the airport, and I followed a car that said Smith times 2 on the license plate. And so I like snapped a grainy photo on my flip phone, and that became a sticker, you know, like it feels like we're kind of all on this choose your own adventure story in a way, like the life that we're living. And God is up there, like, planting these little things that give us clues as to what might be next, or clues that we're not, like, we need to turn left, or, you know. And I think it's just fun to know that those are coming and to kind of keep an eye looking for them and write them down when we see them or remember them.
Or sometimes even clues that we're not alone, like, he's there. I like it. It'd be helpful for us to be on watching for those.
Do you have one?
I mean, I was just thinking about it. I don't You know, I think in situations where I've seen that a lot recently is with things with my kids when they're difficult and I need to have professionals come in and intervene. Every time I prayed, because like if you're going to look for a counselor or some kind of specialist, I mean, it's hard to know. And their people, that doesn't mean that they're going to connect with your people. It doesn't mean they're going to, I don't know. But every time that I've reached out and like, I'll just reach out to, you know, three or whatever and just say, Lord, whoever you want, just have them get back to me or whatever. And every time it's been so sweet to see how they've been the one who has really helped push the needle towards health for my kids. Even like most recently, my daughter's homeroom teacher is obsessed with horses too. And my daughter wants to go to a college, and this teacher's daughter rode horses at that college. And so just things like that where I'm like, Lord, that's just a kindness. That is so sweet.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Well, Rebecca, do you have anything else?
Did you see that your name is in the acknowledgement?
I did see that. I love it. Thanks for acknowledging me.
I'm sorry it wasn't titled after you. I also love that this whole writing process has been documented on your, what do you call this thing? Podcast.
I know. I remember when you said that you got a, whatever word you put in about a book deal. Contract?
I think, yeah. I mean, I even think I told, did I tell you guys when I just was meeting with someone? Or did I wait until I had a contract?
No, you don't wait until appropriate time to say stuff.
I tell way too much to the internet. Actually, I think I have a book titled called You Don't Have to Share Everything on the Internet.
You did. And I thought that was funny that you wrote about that. I'm like, okay, well, maybe she can read this chapter later. Just kidding.
Yeah, so we're like wrapping up a bow on this little chapter of life in Rebecca's life on the pod.
I love it. So do you have any more things you'd like to share with us and we can start a new adventure?
No.
Are you becoming a rock star or moving to France or something?
None of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Just honeybee.
Just honeybee and the sweet tea and the rocker. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next month and we'll solve some more problems and not interview you, because I don't think this is our best. I don't think this is our actual lane is what I'm discovering.
This is not a good format for us. No, it was at the beginning. You should go back and listen to the first time Emily ever interviewed me.
It was really fun.
It was fun.
Thanks for being on the show and being my best friend on the internet who I've never met in life.
Thank you for saying that.
It felt really awkward.
Seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do.